and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 187, the Ain't No Shame in Straight Line Quilting episode. That's right, I've been quilting the VFW Star Quilt and have chosen to work with a palette of straight lines. I like it, and I feel like the time I will spend unquilting this quilt will be considerably less than other quilts where I've tried to get fancy on it. Yeah. So what to tell you? It is Wednesday, April 6, 2016. Tomorrow is Uncle Eli's quilting party, the 85th year. Consecutive year. Isn't that something? The man and I are going. The man is going to take his camera and do some fabulous photography, which I will post. And I'm excited to see what's happening. Now, you know, I need to think about taking a quilt to hang. I'm not done with VFW, so I'm trying to think what would be good. I'm so lazy. And this isn't right. This is the sort of thing. Uncle Eli's quilting party, it's always the first Thursday of every April. So I've known this has been coming for a long time. And about a month or two beforehand, I think I'm going to do it up. I'm going to do the potluck this year. Even though the very idea, I've been for an introvert, really social this winter, spring, right? And partly I feel like I've needed to be, and it's been good for me. I've sort of pushed myself to do stuff, to show up. It's exhausting. The most exhausting thing is, like, yesterday I had lunch with my friend Tracy. Now, my friend Bridget happened to be at the cafe when I got there. She had just finished having lunch with a friend and was, I think, was getting some tea for the road and pondering a slice of coconut cake. I walked in. There's Bridget. We're chatting. Bridget had just called me the day before and left a message, and I'd actually planned to call her yesterday afternoon, although I hate talking on the phone, but Bridget likes talking on the phone, and she's actually pretty fun to talk to the phone on, but normally no phone for me. But I was going to call her, especially because a dear friend of hers had died recently, so I needed to call. So there was Bridget, and we're chatting, and then in comes Tracy, who I was there to meet for lunch, and I had been wanting Bridget to meet Tracy. And Bridget said, well, do you mind if I join you? And we said no. So we sat there, and Bridget's a talker. Tracy's a talker. I'm a facilitator. So it was all good. And then, so it was very fun, very high energy. And then last night, I met a friend. I talk about this in one of the quilt diaries, and I just recorded a quilt diary like 10 minutes ago. My friend Joanne, who I had not seen in 38 years, all right? So we're just chatting away for like 3 hours. That, to me, was like an exhausting day, right? But in general, I'm trying to push myself and, get out there. But the idea of a potluck with people I don't know, that's... And with the man there as well, because that complicates it. Because he's even more introverted than I am. So I'm going to, so I'm just like, yeah. But 2 months ago, I would have told you, I'm doing the potluck. I'm bringing a quilt to hang. I'm involved. And now I'm thinking, I'd like to go look at some quilts. I know, I'm so bad. I'm just like, I don't know. And I don't know about bringing a quilt. I mean, I could. I don't know. I am so lame. Anyway, we've got a couple of quilt diaries for you. The royal we, have a couple of quilt diaries for you. I'm so glad you're listening. And I say we get on with the show. So here we go. Quilt diary day one. It's Wednesday, March 30th. I have been quilting on the VFW Star Quilt. Yes, I have. I am starting very simply. And I decided, okay, so I have 5 star blocks. They're slightly wonky blocks. And so I decided the first thing I would do is actually just stitch in straight lines around each block, 3/4 inch line space between lines, following the wonk, right? So the lines are also wonky. Each block is set into the fabric. So I'm using the block line, right, to
guide me as far as how far out I do the lines. So that is my first step. Now on the one side, on the border, if you'll recall, there's a piano key, very colorful border. And on the, I'd say it's like 5 or 6, there's a 5 or 6 inch strip that is, maybe 16 inches long, 5.5 inches wide. And I'm just going to do reflective strips. So that's what I'm going to do. And otherwise, I don't know. But I thought, you know, this is a start. The lines, the echoing lines around the squares are wide enough if I want to go back in and do something funky, do some circles or tiny matchsticks or what have you. But I thought I would start with that because I feel like that works. I don't quite know how I'm going to quilt the stars themselves. I hope I have not set myself up for a problem. I just thought of this. I always think of things too late. I think it will be okay. I don't think it's going to make anything pucker. Let's hope not. But I have some ideas actually from last year when I did the big star quilt. But I find that this, yeah, it's like just to, like, why not just do, kind of take it as a series of spaces and problems. So I am happy about that. It is my hope to have this quilted in time for the next Modern Quilt Guild meeting, which is the 10th. So it's about a week. It's possible. It's very possible that I could do this. Tomorrow, I'm going over to I'm going over to a woman's house I've never met before. But her daughter is in Jack's grade at school. And my other friend, Lisa, knows this woman. And this woman has been teaching Lisa to hand piece. And so we're all going to hand piece together. And who knows, maybe I will get some helpful hints and good tips. I was watching The Stitch today, you know, Pam from Hip to Be the Square, her TV show, which I love. And I just feel like if you're not subscribing to it on YouTube, that you ought to be. It's a very, it's very, very funny. If you know Pam, you know, she's really, really funny. But it's also educational. They were talking to, I don't know if it was on this, I watched a couple episodes in a row, and one of them they were talking about thread. And, you know, and I realize there's just a lot of things, maybe because I haven't taken a ton of classes. My guess is if you take lots of classes, you pick up these tips. I mean, I was happy to hear that Pam and I do the same thing. We both use Aurifil for front and back and quilting and everything. And, you know, the 50, I don't know, I want to say 50 count, but that's not right. But whatever, you probably use it too. And it's very thin. I like it. Apparently Pam likes it, so we're good. We're cool. But nonetheless, I felt like, God, man, there's so much. And Pam's partner, who I do not believe her name is Laura, but she looks like a Laura to me. And this is just shameful that I'm talking about her using what I'm fairly sure is her wrong name. So could we just call her Pam's partner? Probably not. That takes us into other territory. But she is hilarious. Is it Jenny? Laura? Jenny? I don't know. I could go look. Anyway, she's very funny, but also incredibly knowledgeable. So I just feel like I'm learning so much from them. And I think, why don't I know the stuff? Now, Pam, you know, she's a math person. She's an engineer person. So I don't think it counts that she knows so much more practical, useful information, whereas I'm just kind of an idiot. And what did I do? Oh, today, in my idiocy, I was, you know, filling up my bobbins to start quilting and filling them up. I'm using a navy blue thread for the quilting that I did today. And I just filled up the bobbins, 2 very full, fat, plump bobbins full of navy blue thread. But the back is periwinkle. So I had to, you know, then fill up 2 more bobbins. Fortunately, I have lots and lots of bobbins, but I guess I'll be doing a lot of sewing with navy blue bobbin thread for a while when I can do so. And I'm thinking about this too, because Allison from Within a Quarter Inch emailed me and she said, now I'm sure you know about the quilt symposium in June. And I did know about it, but I forgot all about it. It just was off my radar and I didn't get any email or anything reminding me. So thank you, Allison, for sending me the link. And I checked it out and it's in Raleigh, which is the next town over. It's in like the first weekend of June. So it's a good time for me. I don't know what I'm going to do though. It's kind of, you know, you forget this stuff is so expensive, and I think it must be so expensive if you're traveling and you have to buy all your meals and get a hotel room, whereas I can just pop over. But you know, I start adding things up, and it's over $200. And sometimes $200 doesn't seem like that much. You know, if I'm feeling really flush, I'm like, well, it's worth it. And sometimes I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money, particularly because. The one class I want to take, and I think that I will take, is an EQ7, kind of EQ7 boot camp, which I so badly need, right? I have EQ7, and I'm doing more, I'm going to say quote unquote designing, but just trying to put some quilts together without a pattern. It's basic stuff like the birds in the air quilt, or the donation quilts, but it would be so easy to do if I could use EQ7. I think that would be so helpful. But for some reason, I've just not made the time. Sometimes I say, well, 1 hour a day, I'm not going to do that, you know? So anyway, so I thought that would just be fabulous. So I may do that. Now there are a couple hand piecing classes, and one is just a morning class with Peppa Corey. Peppa Corey, who is not Southern, but she has the most Southern name I've ever heard. Pepper Corey is teaching one on hand sewing curves, hand piecing curves, and that's just a morning class. And then someone else who I don't know their name, it didn't, their name was not familiar to me, is doing an all day hand piecing class, which looked kind of good, but I don't know. But I think if nothing else, I'll sign up for EQ7. But I did think, wow, there's so much to learn. A lot of the classes are project based classes. And you know, it's interesting, and this is the other day on Twilters, I posted one of my questions that I thought I was going to blog about. I just put up a new blog post this morning, and it's actually on Victoria Finley Wolfe's Double-Edged Love Quilt, which is a quilt that I have always really loved. And I was thinking about it the other day. Travis and I were out walking, and I was like, what is it about this quilt? You know, just trying to that strikes you, and what? And I was thinking about how. I mean, there are a lot of different things. It actually really reminds me of a Robert Rauschenberg collage, and I love Rauschenberg. And there's stuff that's hidden, and there's stuff that's covered up, and stuff that's revealed, and it's all really cool. And so, but I was thinking, it's like, what kind of quilt is that really? Because it's not, strictly speaking, a modern quilt. And although I don't know how closely I paid attention at the time. I think that it is controversial. I think someone said that, maybe on the Twilters when we were discussing this year's Quilt Con, but that it was somewhat controversial because it wasn't what we've come to think of as a modern quilt in a lot of ways. And I was like, well, is it modern traditional? Now, apparently, that's what Victoria thinks it is. And I know this because she is the nicest woman in the world. I emailed her to ask permission to use an image on her website. She emailed back right away and said, oh, please do. And, you know, I hope you're nice, whatever you say. I hope you say nice things, whatever. And so then I sent her the link this morning, and she, again, emailed back right away and said she loved the post and that she really thought of the quilt as being modern traditional. Now, in my blog post, I talk about how I actually, in some ways, don't think it quite fits that. Either. So I made up a whole new term, disruptive traditional. If you want to know more about that, you can read the blog post. I got a great comment from Gail just a little bit ago saying that she liked the term disruptive traditional and we should put it on t-shirts. So we shall. Anyway, so I was thinking about what is a modern traditional quilt? What is a modern quilt? I feel like we've kind of got down at this point. And the big question for me is what is a contemporary quilt? And Noni, when I brought this up, on the Twilters group, she referred me to Mary Fonds, to that You Call That a Quilt, which is her talk that's on the Modern Quilt Guild creative webinar page. And so I went back to that. That's right. And I forgot. And she does talk about contemporary quilts. And her definition is essentially, whoops. Oops, sorry about that. That was Jack. He's been lifting weights. I have to go get him in a sec, but he can wait. Okay, so contemporary, she does not use the term modern traditional, but essentially, I think what she was saying is a contemporary quilt is more or less a modern traditional quilt that has sort of an artsy spin. She said personal, and I had to think a long time what she might mean, but I think she means using hand-dyed fabrics or your own design. maybe going a little afield of using all traditional elements in the quilt, whereas modern traditional, which she doesn't talk about, although I think it's kind of what she does, maybe she mentions it, I can't remember now, which is using traditional block elements, whether it's squares and triangles or applique, but then using, you know, and also using traditional settings and not necessarily sashing. You don't see a lot of sashing right now. Do you sash? I haven't sashed in a while, but borders and what have you. But the contemporary quilt leans more toward art because, and perhaps more because of fabric choices. So if you see, you know, batiks might be a more contemporary quilt choice than one for a modern traditional. Do you use batiks? Batiks. I just said that very weird in a way I didn't mean to. Batiks. Do you use batiks? I love batiks. I love batiks. And that is something you definitely don't see in modern, unless we are seeing that in modern now. You know, I got the most recent issue of Fonz and Porter, and it was interesting to look through it because I was thinking about traditional quilts versus modern traditional, not that they're at war, but thinking about that. And I realized that in Fonz and Porter, almost all the magazine, all the quilt patterns are modern traditional. With one, you know, I think Liz Porter really likes the traditional quilt. And it's hard when you're doing traditional. I mean, I think stars are almost always feel very traditional. And until we get wonky with our stars, that, you know, any star you do is going to have a name, right? But I would say like 85%, maybe 90% of the quilt patterns I would call modern traditional. And if I were a scholar, which I so clearly am not, it'd be an interesting project to go through a year's worth of Fonz and Porter and actually look at the blocks that are used in these modern traditional quilts. They're not named by their traditional names, but how many of them actually are traditional blocks? That how many could you go into Jenny Byers block book or Barbara Brackman's block book and identify them by a given name? But in their current incarnation in the Fonz and Porter magazine, the blocks are not given names. So if that all makes sense, this is what's on my mind. I thought I would write about this, but I was having a hard time writing about it in an interesting way. And really, I got more interested in trying to articulate my feelings about double-edged love. And the other way, my other jumping up off point, or my original jumping off point for the blog post, was talking about looking at the North Carolina Quilt Symposium's brochure for classes and realizing how, all the quilts projects seem to be modern, traditional projects, which should come as absolutely no surprise to anyone, I don't think. But I think when I was, I know what it was, and this is why I went on Twilters to ask, because I was thinking at first, these are all contemporary quilts. Here's what I know. I think any of the classes, and the teachers were good, and some of you've heard of, I want to say one is Charlotte, is that Charlotte Angiotti? She's there, and oh gosh, all sorts of people. It's a really good roster. The Raleigh Quilt Guild put this together. The Durham Orange Quilt Guild is putting it together next year, or for 2000. Yeah, next year we're doing it. We, supposedly me, if I pay my dues. Anyway, they've done a fantastic job of getting great teachers. Debbie Coffey, she's one. The teacher that my mom and I took a class with. Anyway, I know that if I took any of the classes, even though they don't immediately jump out at me as like, this is a quilt I have to make, this is a class I have to take, I know I would get a lot out of it. But it's just not happening right now. And this kind of brings me back to the Stitch and back to Pam and all her amazing quilting knowledge that I don't have and I need to learn. And there's some stuff I can learn from books, but there's other stuff. It's just like I maybe need to be more diligent about taking classes. But you know, if you've listened to this podcast for more than, say, 5 episodes, that I do say, oh, I need to do this, and I'll never do it. I'll never do it until I say, I need to do the opposite of this. And then I'll do this. See, that's how it works out. Well, I guess I need to go pick up Jack. But I just want to share that I have started making or quilting VFW Star Quilt. Yay. And I'm excited. I just felt this afternoon after I finished my morning work. It's like,
I've been having such a nice time hand piecing, and it's so relaxing. It's so easy to just pick up and do. And I'm like, nope, you gotta start doing some hard work here. So I'm on it, and I'll be back soon to tell you more about it.
Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Wednesday, April 6th, I think, 2016, I am sure. And we're here to talk to you today about straight line quilting. I'm sitting here with Travis, who is basking in the sun as it comes through the window. It's actually kind of a chilly yet beautiful day. Anyway, I decided with the VFW Star Quilt to do straight line quilting. And I came to this decision from a number of different angles. One being, I straight lined quilted, that somehow doesn't sound right. When I quilted the Big Star Quilt last year, I did straight line quilting and I really liked it. It suited the quilt, it looked cool, I was happy with it. The VFW Star Quilt is pretty much a modern quilt with a few traditional elements, a lot of negative space. And so I thought, looking at it, I think the straight line would work here as well. But the other thing is this: I don't practice free motion quilting the way I should. I don't practice it at all. Right? That suggests there's some practice involved here. And I realized that it's like, you know, when I practice on my quilts as I'm quilting them, and that is why I spend so much time unquilting, because I practice and then I don't like my practice quilting and I have to pluck it all out. So I thought, I don't want to stipple this quilt. I don't want to pebble. I can stipple, I can pebble, I can spiral, and I can paisley. All those things I do very well. None of those I think is right for this quilt. So, what if I were going to try something fancier? Like feathers? I can't feather. There are all kinds of things I can't do yet. I hope that one day I will be able to do them. I hope one day I'm going to figure all this out. But I won't until I start practicing. And I could tell you, Wilson, now I'm going to practice. And I've made declarations like that before on this podcast and then not followed through. What I can do is draw quilting lines in interesting ways, straight lines, and follow those lines and be happy with the quilt job that I've done, the quilting job that I've done. I can do that. Now, I posted something about this on the Twilters, and Kristen said essentially, you know, straight line quilting can be very unforgiving. And she's absolutely right about that. It's like, because, you know, if you're stippling or meandering or pebbling, uniformity is not an issue. A straight line is either straight line or it's not a straight line, right? So, but the good news, I think, is while the straight line is not forgiving, the eye is. And I've had a couple, so I'm doing these horizontal lines across the star blocks. And there have been a couple occasions, perhaps more than a couple, where I have, as I'm in the process of quilting, kind of gone off the straight and narrow path. And especially when, you know, the back of the quilt is that big star made of made fabric. I mean, this is a quilt with a lot of made fabric. So that means a lot of seams. So there are bumpy spots that are going to knock you off course. So I note it while I'm quilting and thinking, oh, I may have to come back and redo this line. But then when I'm done and I sort of step away from the quilt, and not even that far away from the quilt, I really have to search to find that line that blipped. And I think that, I don't know, I think the eye corrects for things, right? So maybe that's it, or maybe I'm just so slack and in such denial. I'm like, I don't need to correct that, but maybe I don't. So I'm enjoying it. I have been inspired by Jackie Gehring's class on quilting with a walking foot. And then my mom was the one who recommended that to me. She may have given it to me. And it's really good. And other people have said her other class on this is a Craftsy class. And she's got another quilting class on Craftsy, and other people have said it's great as well. She's a really good teacher, and I like her presence very much. She's friendly and, you know, low key, and sort of like perfection's not the goal here, et cetera, et cetera. So, if you're looking for a Craftsy class on how to do straight line quilting with your walking foot, Jackie's your girl. I am not quite done. Almost. I ran out of thread, and I just went to Thimble Pleasures today to get some new thread. So my goal is to have it done by Sunday, by the Modern Quilt Guild meeting. It may or may not happen. I still haven't decided how to bind it. As Jay says, make visual decisions visually. And I can't really make that decision until I cut away all the extra batting and fabric from the quilt, because, you know, I tried and it doesn't work. So I need to have a clean line with which to try out different colors of binding. Right now, I mean, my thought in my head, the two ideas that I like the best are, one, just doing a navy binding. So which is much of the background of the quilt is navy, or else there's a sort of peachy orange that I have that I really like. It's in the quilt. It's in one of the star blocks. It's really pretty, and I'm pretty sure I have enough to do the binding. So that would be great. I have some time to work on it, and you know, all I have this weekend, all I have on Saturdays, I have my workshop, my little creative writing workshop with this group of girls. And but other than that, Saturday could be a complete quilty day. We shall see. I'm not going to force it, right? But it would be fun. It would be fun to be done with it and to take it to show and tell. What else to tell you? I am making progress. I'll have a picture on the blog post on the Birds in the Air, the Civil War version. For those of you who are not twilters, the twilters very wonderfully, on the behest of Tina, are doing a Birds in the Air kind of block exchange, and everyone is making an extra block. So for me, which will be, I think, signed, so that I will have a twilter quilt, which is really fun to say, twilter quilt, to take with me when I do the Birds in the Air tour. And I'll let you know more of that as it develops. But yeah, so that's so nice and generous. That makes me happy. But so I'm continuing to enjoy the hand piecing, as I've been talking about for the last, I don't know, a couple months now. You know, I have the Jenny Byers book on hand piecing, hand quilting. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful book. If you have any interest in hand piecing, I would recommend it. It's maybe a little pricey, but it's worth it. It's gorgeous. And, you know, I do feel a little bit like, you know, I'm self-taught in so many things, and this is kind of how I function. I teach myself how to do something, and I do it badly, and then I go take lessons and learn how to do it the right way for the most part. But, you know, I'm very left-handed. And, you know, and someone like Jenny Byers, who may herself be left-handed, I don't know, and seems just like the loveliest person in the world, also seems like she could be my polar opposite. I just have this feeling that she's very neat and that she does things the right way. And she learned to sew very young, which I could have if, you know, I hadn't been a jerk about it. But, yeah, so there's just certain, I just feel like for certain people, like, knowing how to do things the right way just comes naturally, where I just make it up. And hand quilting's feeling that way a little bit. Like, I know there's a better way to make a knot. I don't know how. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to learn, which is a bad attitude. I know it's a bad attitude. But yeah, sometimes I feel that way. It took me so long to figure out when I was knitting how to do like a non-babyish cast-on of stitches. I did like the most babyish cast-on, the one like my mom taught me when I was 10. And it took so long, and it was hard for me, but I finally got it, how to do a real cast-on. And so now I really need to learn how to do like a real knot and real stuff. I mean, I say that, but, you know, I guess as long as my quilts don't fall apart, maybe I'm okay. All right, it's a little bit of a ramble. I am reading, among other things. I just started The Boys in the Boat. That's for my book club. It's the new book club read. And I've only read about 10 pages, and it's fabulous. So I'm hoping that it will continue to be fabulous. I've heard that it is. It's about the 1933 Olympic rowing team. So I just started it and just thought, oh, this is a good book. This is a good book. Just started Marie Bostwick's new book, which is her follow-up. Okay, it's called From Here to Home. And that is the sequel to Between Texas, I want to say Texas and the Heart of Things. Is that right? Could that be right? I'm sorry. Travis has just snuggled up on me, and I actually have that in the other room. I will put it in the blog notes. But this is her delightful character, Mary Dell Templeton, stars in both of these books. And I am going to actually do a blog interview with Marie. I'm going to send her some questions in the next couple of days and a giveaway. So be looking for that. I'm going to do a book giveaway. She's going to send me a book. Her publishers gave her some books for publicity. So she's going to send me one, and I'm going to give it to someone who leaves a comment on the blog for that particular interview. So I'm looking forward to that. She seems like a really lovely person, and we've had a very brief correspondence. I think I emailed her yesterday and said, would you be interested in doing this? And she was, and she just, like I said, seems lovely. So I'm looking forward to, I'm working on my questions right now, and I really want to talk to her as much about quilting as writing. And one of the things I have to offer her as an interviewer is I'm not going to ask her questions like, where do you get your ideas? Which one of your books, of all the books have you written, is your favorite book? These are really, don't ask authors those questions. If you have before, don't worry about it, because everybody does. But those are one kind of really hard questions. You can't answer the one, which one is your favorite book? It's like the one I'm working on right now, because that's the one that I'm most interested in and have the most energy for. And that's always my stock answer. And that's almost every author I've ever heard talk has said the same thing, because it's true. But where do you get your ideas from? It's really hard. It's, you know, everywhere. I mean, you never know. So I'm not going to ask her those questions, and she will thank me for it later, I'm sure. So I'm reading those. Boys in the Boat. I feel like there was one other thing. Oh, I finished my collection of stories, short stories. The collection of short stories by Amy Gustine, or Gustin. It's Gustine. I'll put a link, called You Should Pity Us Instead, which I thought was wonderful, A to Z. And I've got to tell you, I pick up these collections of short stories. I love short stories as a form, but I am so tired of everyone being so jaded and cynical, you know, and just everybody, and also everyone being from Brooklyn. So tired of it. And these stories, I mean, they're not romance. They're not feel-good stories, except that they are, because they're stories in which flawed human beings love each other or fail to love each other in spectacular ways. But, you know, they're not, you know, sometimes you just pick up these kids in Brooklyn writing about how marriage never works, and how, you know, love is really not what holds us together, or whatever they write about in Brooklyn. I don't know. I'm so tired of them and their beards. But yeah, and she doesn't do that, but she writes these real stories about, again, people who have, you know, these characters who often have affection for one another, although they're not always capable of giving their loved ones everything that their loved ones need. Yeah, that wasn't a good sentence, but you know what I'm saying. So it's like real life, right? These stories feel like real life. Now, they're not really dramatic for the most part, so if you need like the big hit of drama, I would say watch TV, because there's so much good drama on TV right now. But I do feel like her stories are they're just really well observed. And so I was excited. And then I picked up a new collection, which is called something like American Housewife, and it was glib. And I really felt like this person had never been a housewife, or, you know, it was just, again, cynical. It's supposed to be funny, and you might think it's funny, right? And maybe, I mean, I'm old. Well, no, I'm not allowed to say that, because people get mad at me. You're not old, but you know, I'm 52, almost. And done with glib. I'm done with glib, except for when I myself want to be glib. And the last thing, before I say thanks to the people who commented, last night I met with a friend of mine from junior high school. And that shows you how old I am, because I went to junior high school and not middle school. Middle school's kind of was a thing that started happening kind of in the 80s, I think. But not when I was in junior high school. That was not happening. But my friend Joanne, who I had not seen since 1978. That's many, many years. That's like a whole bunch of years, right? And it's almost weird when I think, that's almost 40 years, people. That's a lot of years. And but here's the thing that's so interesting to me. So we met, I live in Central North Carolina near Raleigh, Research Triangle Park. So people come in town all the time, which is fabulous. I get to see people. And they tend to stay close in a hotel near the airport, but it's a fast ride up from there to our big mall, and which has a huge food. It's not a food court. In fact, half of the mall is just restaurants. The outside half, it's called the streets at South Point, and the streets part is just restaurants. And so we met at the Barnes & Noble, and just popped into some restaurant that just served the basic things that restaurants serve. And what was fascinating is we had a great time. And, you know, she's very young looking. We both dye our hair, so neither of us look our age. But she doesn't look exactly the same because she doesn't have bangs that she curls with a curling iron. she actually is grown up, and I am grown up. But she was the same person that she was way back then. And I said that to her. I said, you're exactly the same. And she said, you are too, which is, you know, interesting to think about. I just feel like people are essentially who they are when they're born, which makes me a very lazy mother because I'm like, I can't change you. I can teach you manners and I can make you do chores and make you understand that you have responsibilities when you live with other people, whether those people are your family members or your dorm people, whoever, people you share your apartment with. There's a way to live with other people that's right and good. Those are things I can do, but I can't change people. I felt that. I can't change your nature. And I felt that for a long time, but that really hit home last night with Joanne. I'm like, really? I mean, she doesn't giggle as much either. She used to be very giggly, but she's still like super funny, right? And I was trying to like think of, I mean, she's so like a part of, you know, this particular era of my life, but I was trying to think of particular stories. And now I remember going to the PX and she thought it was very funny to take the lid off shampoo and then bring over the bottle of shampoo and put it under your nose and say, smell this. This smells so good. And when you did, then she'd kind of bump the bottle of shampoo and you would get shampoo on your nose. That was the kind of thing that Joanne did, but she was so cute. She got away with it. Anyway, I don't think she does that anymore, but she's still just essentially herself. So that was interesting. I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone who commented on my last blog post, which was about Victoria Finley Wolf, about her quilt, Double-Edged Love, which is a quilt that I really like a lot. I think I may have talked about it. I probably talked about this. It's been so long since I recorded the first quilt diary. But anyway, thank you to everyone who commented on that. And thank you to everyone who commented on episode 186. All right, I want to thank Katie from Quilting Daydreams, who makes errors similar to mine, which is to say sometimes we cut stuff all wrong. I'm glad I'm not alone. Thank you. Thanks to Gail and Jane, who also messes up the cutting and just about everything to do with quilting, yet she can't stop making quilts. And Jane, I am so much the same way. And sometimes I think, I should be better at this by now, shouldn't I? I don't know. But it doesn't matter because I just keep making them. Thanks to Gretchen and to Ozzy Pip. Oh, and Ozzy Pip's going to, she's doing like an overview. Like she's doing a bunch of blog posts on podcasters. And so she's going to do one on me. Yay, Ozzy Pip. Thanks to Jay, who says, I am a brave soul for using Civil War fabrics, or just more evolved than Jay is. I think it would be impossible for me to be more evolved than Jay is. Jay begs me to please use the triangle technique that she has a tutorial for, or half square triangle technique that she has a tutorial for. And Jay, I have been. Yay! I forget. You know, I forget. So I get these great, it's like I'm so much two steps forward, one step back from quilt to quilt. Because, I'll learn this technique often from Jay, who's over at Art Quilt Maker. I will do my best to remember to link to that technique. If I forget, it's in Jay's comment on episode 186. But so I'll learn this great new technique, and then by the time I get to my next quilt, I have forgotten. But then I remember halfway through, which happened this time. I heard from Dory, who is off to Ireland. I think I saw on Instagram pictures of Ireland from her plane. So that is so exciting. I can't wait to hear all about that trip. Heard from the wonderful Quilt and Jenny, who I depend on and rely upon to fill in all my blanks when I forget words. I don't think I did last time, but I did make her laugh when I told about the National Quilting Day at the ballpark where there were only 20 of us. I have to share this, what Jenny wrote in her comment. I had someone ask me just the other day how quilting and knitting are different. That's like the saddest thing I've ever heard. Jenny says, I had to practice my Lamaze breathing to keep from being snarky when I answered. You're a good woman, Jenny. She says, I am trying to look at these as teachable moments and not take it personally. Whew. And then I heard from the wonderful Kelly the Fifth talking about being left-handed, which I just talked about a little bit, right? I am left-handed. Left-handers, it's our brains are just wired in this way. And she says that she'd had such left-handed quilting problems lately that she's stopping for a few days. Oh, honey, I know how that is. So anyway, thanks to everyone for commenting. It's so good to hear from people. I love that. I would love to hear from you. I know that a lot of you comment in your heads, and I hear you. But, you know, if you get a chance to write it down, that's good, too. I love that. I'm hoping as we get sort of, as I continue to be like a more professional podcaster, I hope you're enjoying my professional podcasting and note the big difference between the old podcasts and the new professional ones. But I hope to do some more giveaways and things like that to promote comments and just love. Because, you know, I love the love. All right, my dears, I will be back in 10 days. That's my plan. Fingers crossed. And by the way, tomorrow, Uncle Eli's quilting party. I'll have news about that and more.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.